Thank you, Ambassador Gill and distinguished delegates. I lead DeepMind's Ethics and Society Research Team. And in this capacity, I should say that the views I express here are those of DeepMind itself. We're actually no longer called Google DeepMind. We're part of the Alphabet Group, and the views I express are not necessarily those of other companies in the Alphabet Group, which include Google. We at DeepMind created the Ethics and Society team because we believe that as world industry and academic leaders in advancing AI science, we have a responsibility to better understand the real-world effects of AI and to hold ourselves to the highest ethical standards. Our team is engaged in the task of researching and working with others on a range of ethical challenges that we believe face the field in the coming years, including concerns around privacy, transparency, fairness, and accountability. And that includes the topic that Professor Bowden raised of the scrutability of the algorithms we create. It also includes the economic impact of AI in the sphere of employment, as it begins to enable automation of tasks that previously perhaps only humans could have performed, and the managing of risks that come with such a complex and general purpose technology. Grappling with these challenges will help us realize the immense potential benefits of AI. At DeepMind, we believe strongly in the importance of placing ethics at the heart of our work, of establishing strong high-level principles from which we can develop more detailed and specific practices to help ensure our technology is to the benefit of all. We start from the principle that all our technologies should remain under adequate human control. What this means in practice will depend upon various factors, such as the environment in which a system is deployed, the capabilities and complexity of the system, and the severity and scale of potential harm. For example, as several speakers have already mentioned, a notable DeepMind research achievement has been the development of AlphaGo, a computer program that's able to match and exceed the capabilities of the best human players of the board game Go. Its latest version, AlphaGo Zero, learned to perform at this expert level purely through playing against itself, unlike previous versions, which were trained on examples of how humans play the game. And I should say that I agree with Gary's comments that the extent to which this means that it learnt with absolutely no human input can be overstated. There were indeed research scientists at DeepMind who designed the architecture of the neural network that was trained and tuned the hyperparameters to ensure it performed at the level it did. I would, however, say that the generality of the approach here is considerably greater than, say, the generality of the approach used in the Deep Blue system that beat Garry Kasparov in 1997, and that whilst AlphaGo Zero cannot, in and of itself, be applied without change to other problem-solving tasks, the underlying principles with work from research scientists like those at DeepMind can enable similar techniques to address other problems. So despite its immense complexity, there is actually an extremely limited range of actions that AlphaGo can take. It can only place one of its pieces, black or white, on an open position on the board. The outcomes and the environment are similarly constrained. Either one side wins or there is a draw. Much of our other research work is on AI systems performing problem-solving tasks in simulated three-dimensional environments, much like the playing of a video game. And this is building upon the DQN algorithm, which played two-dimensional Atari video games. In these cases, we are confident that there is sufficient human control because of the constraints of the environment in which they are operating and the limits on the complexity of the algorithms involved. In other deployment scenarios, such as the use of AI for real-time control of a data center cooling system, something we've been working with our colleagues at Google on, appropriate human control involves multiple redundant levels of constraints on the actions the system can take, as well as ongoing human oversight, and again, a limited range of actions. Turning to the case of weapon systems, the severity and scale of potential harm are clearly very high. Here, applying the principle of adequate human control should set the bar equally high for the level of human oversight and scrutiny of decision-making. Given the unconstrained environment of armed conflict, as well as the potential for unseen interactions, we believe strongly that no weapon system should locate, select, and deploy force against targets without substantive human participation in the decision-making process at the time of attack. We believe that humans bear the responsibility for the decision to deploy force, and as such, that they must uphold their obligations under international law. As such, weapon systems that have autonomy in their critical functions, such as those that permit a system to select an attacker target without human intervention, cannot uphold the ethical principle requiring human control. Turning back to the case of AlphaGo, it is notable that the system played moves, as Professor Bowden mentioned, that were surprising and counterintuitive to even the best human players, seeming at first to be errors and only later revealing themselves as winning moves. In the constrained environment and constrained outcomes of Go gameplay, this is a welcome contribution to the field. If we consider a weapon system developed with similar learning technologies, we might not consider this capacity for unexpected behavior so welcome. While some might believe it would be desirable to surprise their adversaries, there is no guarantee that such hypothetical weapon systems would not also surprise their creators and the human commanders who deploy them. When we think about what this potential for destruction might mean, it's worth remembering the example of the stock market flash crash of 2010. Automated trading algorithms interacted in unexpected and unintended ways, causing market prices to drop by $1 trillion. In this case, the damage manifested as numbers in digital systems, and after an agreed-upon trading pause, prices rose back to previous levels. If we imagine the analogous dynamics that might arise from autonomous weapon systems interacting in unexpected and unintended ways, it's clear that the damage could not be so easily undone. To conclude my remarks, our recommendation at DeepMind is that a principle of meaningful human control be explicitly articulated in international law, so that the work of establishing the details of what this means in practice and how it should be evaluated can be begun in earnest. In particular, we believe that an agreed legal principle of human control would provide grounds on which to establish some detailed protocols. These might include the requirement for effective human-in-the-loop control, including methods for avoiding automation bias. The principle of human control would also, in our view, preclude deployment in weapons of self-modifying machine learning systems, that is, online learning systems that learn whilst in operation. Such systems would have the capacity to behave in ways unanticipated by their creators, with a significant risk of unintended and unexpected interactions with potentially catastrophic results. Thank you.